From NPR News in Washington, I'm Paul Brown. Banking stocks overseas are down after J.P. Morgan Chase's announcement that it has lost $2 billion in risky hedge fund trading in the past 6 weeks.
The news related to J.P. Morgan's trading losses has had a negative impact, as you might expect, on financial stocks generally and on stock markets globally.
That's Neil McKinnon, financial analyst at BTB Capital in London. Fear of contagion is helping drive down shares in Goldman Sachs, Citigroup, and Bank of America. Larry Miller reports from London that Britain's financial regulator is now holding discussions with J.P. Morgan.
The Financial Services Authority wants to know how the J.P. Morgan trading losses happened and what the bank's doing to prevent a reoccurrence. The bank's CEO, Jamie Dimon, says the losses were somewhat related to a report last month that a single trader known as the London Whale was making such large trades he was affecting prices in the $10 trillion market. The BBC asked President Clinton's Labor Secretary Robert Reich about this trader.
There's supposed to be enough supervision, there's supposed to be enough care that you don't end up in this kind of situation.
The Wall Street Journal asks there wasn't much keeping the market afloat. Will the London Whale be enough to sink it? For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
The undercover agent who had penetrated Al-Qaeda's arm in Yemen and delivered its latest generation bomb to the CIA was a British citizen. As NPR's Dina Temple-Raston reports, the entire undercover operation was under the direction of British intelligence.
A British undercover agent infiltrated Al-Qaeda's arm in Yemen, volunteered to be a suicide bomber, and managed to smuggle out the group's latest underwear bomb and deliver it to the CIA. MI5 recruited the agent, who was trying to get close to the terrorist group's mastermind bomb maker, Ibrahim Hassan Asiri. The group gave the agent their underwear bomb and told him to board any U.S.-bound flight of his choosing. The British had put some pressure on the Obama administration not to reveal their role in the secret mission. Dina Temple-Raston, NPR News.
The leader of the main opposition group in Syria says a UN-brokered ceasefire is not working because it lacks teeth. He says the ceasefire is now in crisis. Government forces continue to attack residential neighborhoods, and opposition fighters in some areas are launching more attacks on security forces and installations. Big drops in gasoline and other energy prices have helped to drive April's wholesale prices lower. The Labor Department says that outside of that, there's been some inflation, but it's been very modest at 0.2%. President Obama heads to Nevada today with a focus on the economy. Nevada ranks second in the U.S. for foreclosed homes. Mitt Romney speaks in North Carolina. This is NPR News. Ford Motor Company executives won big praise for turning the company around at the company's annual meeting. It was the shortest Ford shareholder meeting on record. It was yesterday and lasted about 45 minutes in Delaware. CEO Alan Mulally told investors the company is no longer in what he calls turnaround mode. Not everything on Capitol Hill is the subject of partisan dispute. As NPR's Julie Rovner reports, both the House and Senate are heading towards passage of a bill to overhaul the drug and medical device approval process at the Food and Drug Administration.
The bill passed the usually fractious House Energy and Commerce Committee on a unanimous 46-0 vote. A similar measure passed a Senate committee last month. Both bills would renew a 1992 law that requires the prescription drug industry to pay user fees that let the FDA hire additional staff. Those extra bodies help speed up drug approval review times, getting medications to patients faster, and preserving patent life for the manufacturers. Add-ons to this year's version of the bill would, for the first time, impose user fees to speed the review of generic and biologic drugs. The bill also includes incentives for the development of new antibiotics and provisions to address shortages of some prescription drugs. Julie Rovner, NPR News, Washington.
Police say the fugitive in Mississippi, accused of kidnapping two young girls and killing their mother and older sister, shot himself to death rather than surrender when he was tracked down. Adam Mays has been pronounced dead. The two sisters have been rescued after a two-week search that started when the three daughters and their mother disappeared from their Tennessee home. I'm Paul Brown, NPR News, Washington.